You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And July 2nd marks 10 years since the city of Seattle settled its lawsuit against the professional basketball club, paving the way for the Sonics to move to Oklahoma City and become the Thunder. To help us look back on that day in the past decade without an NBA team in Seattle, we're thrilled to be joined by record producer, and more importantly, diehard Sonics fan, Jake One.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining us.
This is already a sad time.
It's a somber pod.
Yeah, this is not, actually it will turn funny because, you know, out of pain comes joy.
What do you remember from that day, first off?
I just remember turning on the TV and just being shocked. Like, I was like, I figured they were going to have two seasons here. Just, they were going to be awful, but I was kind of hoping something bad would happen to, like, Clay Bennett and them, and maybe we'd keep the team, but I didn't understand why they settled because they didn't get anything out of it. And that was the thing that was most puzzling to me. Like, whatever the $30 million, wherever they got, was just peanuts in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, as usual, our local government failed us in a, you know, multitude of ways like they are known to do.
Yeah, I guess the logic there was they wanted to settle the debt on Key Arena, but with hindsight, certainly looks like a mistake.
Well, and the whole, like, the thing I didn't like about it is just like, we're just going to be nice to the NBA because then, you know, they're going to just be nice to us. And it's like, clearly NBA gives no shits about being nice. You have to, like, leverage them like anything else. And we didn't do that. Like, I don't think those lame duck years would have made any difference in us getting a team or not getting a team, you know. If somebody would have just privately financed a building, which might have happened, we'd probably still have the team.
I do wonder if Steve Ballmer, at some point, he's got closer to retiring from Microsoft, would have just stepped up and bought the team.
Right. I mean, he kind of tried to. I just think he didn't, you know, I'm sure if he had to do it over again, he just would have bought the stadium. It would have been easier than buying the shitty Clippers, you know, for $2 billion.
My question for you, Kevin, as being somebody who is working for the team, is what were you expecting day of from that decision?
Same thing. I thought that they were going to win the lawsuit, that the city, I guess I should specify who they is in this case, and that the team was going to be here for two more years, as we kind of talked about when we talked about the final game a few months ago, the 10th anniversary of that. And I probably, in hindsight, I should have seen it coming much more than I did.
Yeah.
Like, we did have our number two person in the organization was in Oklahoma City to set up a call center. And it was like, oh yeah, just in case they win the lawsuit. Like, well, no, maybe they know something we don't. But the first inkling, like, we didn't learn anything really until it started to trickle out on the internet, that the rumors that there was going to be a settlement. And I remember hearing that, you know, Brian Robinson was going in to meet with the mayor. And it was like, that doesn't sound good. But I was still like, I still have the email chain. Like, I was Mr. Positivity on this chain.
Oh,
like,
man.
Look, sometimes smoke is just smoke and not a fire. And then eventually, like, I don't know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it was, I give it and like, they're gone.
That must be a brutal email chain to look back on.
It really is.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So then how did you react that day? Like, what did you do to basically mourn the team immediately?
All right, so the first time we got official confirmation, this is probably because I think the press conference was held at 5 is my recollection, Pacific time, and maybe an hour or two before that we did finally have a meeting where they told us this is going to be the settlement. So I was working for the website. I had to post the press release on the website.
Wow. That's,
man, one of the most, I might have thrown the computer at them. Like, that just would have been my reaction. That's real professional. I gotta respect
I'm
you.
Shocked that you did that.
Yeah, they were nice enough not to make me do any stuff like after that. Like, the team was playing in the summer league.
Maybe, right.
I don't know if it was that week or the next week, but like that was going on simultaneously. Like, yeah, we'll get a freelance writer. You don't have to write about the team in the Orlando Summer League playing in their OKC jerseys.
Okay, did they wear OKC?
Or it might have been NBA. I can't remember what they wore in Summer League. It was definitely because they hadn't picked out a logo or anything.
Right.
That was much later in the summer. So I did that. We had an all-staff meeting around the same time as the press conference where they told us and talked about, you know, basically the process of how they were going to invite people to to potentially go to Oklahoma City, which a surprising number of people from Seattle ended up making that move, and many of them are even still there 10 years later. But then
don't come back.
You're definitely not welcome.
Oh, some of my best friends, man. Some of my best friends.
You can't afford to live here.
But yeah, that is that definitely true. They got mansions down there. That's part of why they made the move.
Yeah, I can see.
So immediately after that, we went down to Kell's and had open bar for the whole staff, which was...
Open bar for the whole staff? Who paid for that?
The team did.
The team paid for it?
Yeah.
They were like, you can get officially wasted on us. We're moving.
Yeah, we ruined your life.
It was, yeah. It's not a situation. Like, sometimes at official events, we'd have the 2 drink tickets. And everyone's trying to take the drink tickets from whoever doesn't drink. Not in this case. It was just whatever you wanted to do.
Who do you think made that decision? Was it Sam Presti, probably?
I don't think that Sam was involved in that. I think he was probably busy with basketball affairs. I would assume that it would be the team president probably made that call.
How drunk were you on that night as far as drunkest nights of your entire life?
I wasn't that drunk. I actually got much drunker the next year. We did like a get together, like a half dozen of us to celebrate the anniversary of it. Got very drunk at that one. But that night I didn't get that drunk.
How drunk were you as compared to the night that Sean Kemp brought you Rain Man shots at Oscars and you slept on your porch?
I mean, I think we can safely describe that as, that's like an 11 on the scale.
Shout out to SK.
I was like maybe a 4 or 5.
Great guy.
4 or 5. What about you, Jake? Do you remember what you did that day, or if you did anything?
I went to work, but what year was that?
2008.
Oh no, I didn't go to work. I think I was back in Seattle at that point, and just remember being sad, man. I'm not even gonna lie, I was sad. I remember my dad, because he's the one that got me into being a Sox fan, and he was just like, "We're not building them a stadium. Fuck them." He's like, I'm going with the Spurs. He just didn't care. He was just off. He was off to the races. He was like, fuck them. He's like, they suck anyway. But yeah, it was just, it didn't almost seem real. And then when the season came around, it was just like, holy shit, we don't have a team.
Yeah.
And I think I bought a league pass that year, and I just like, I was even watching their games, just rooting against them, because I just didn't know what else to do, right? Yeah, it's really crazy, you know?
Well, on the decision, I wish that we knew this, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but if we could just get, what was the judge's name? Marsha Peckman?
Yes.
If we could just get Marsha Peckman to tell us what she would have ruled.
Would you like to try to get her on the pod?
Somehow that would provide some sort of closure by making me angrier at Seattle politicians.
Oh, I used to work at the courthouse, and I actually would like deliver stuff to her courtroom on occasion, but... Who knows?
It's just like a piece of paper.
I just don't see how they would have lost. It seemed like such a no-brainer. Yes. Like,
it was such a strange trial.
I mean, everything about it, they were clearly being deceitful in every which way they could. Like, I couldn't even understand why they were suing. I was like, what do you think you're going to prove? Like,
well, the discovery on the emails, I don't think... Well, did those come out of that trial, or did they come
out of that, I think. And then what was their big thing, that the city was conspiring to keep them in their lease? Like, no shit.
Conspiring to keep them in their lease.
I mean, the really weird thing is that they brought out economists to like testify that teams had no value to cities. Like, I feel like the NBA should have been more upset with that. Like, that's really damaging.
That was where the Licata thing happened, right?
The Licata thing happened when, like...
On with the Schultz and
yeah,
all
when
the
Schultz was
stuff.
Asking for money in 2006, the week of the Seahawks and the Super Bowl. Right. Like, great timing, Howard.
Yeah.
Great plan.
Howard Schultz, he lives right down there.
Wow. Okay, we're going to talk about feelings about him next. Yeah. that'll be soon. We might go to his house just to see.
Egg his house.
Okay, so let's say hypothetically, because I know this is the conversation people want to hear. Let's say that those 2 years happen in Seattle. What happens with the team long term?
Well, I don't think the guy. The funny thing about the whole OKC ownership is they weren't really that rich. Like, when we're talking about NBA rich, they're rich, way richer than anybody I know, but they weren't NBA rich. So if they would have been taking a bath on all that financially, and then if Kevin Durant turns into what he turned into, I also think they wouldn't have changed PJ being the coach because he was so shitty.
Yeah,
I think that was
still
part
be the
of
head
it.
Coach.
He would still be the head coach. They're like, yeah, let's play Durant at point guard this year. If they would have turned it into the, because the second year it was when they won what 40 some games, and it was promising, right? Because the first year they were shit in OKC.
Yeah, because that was Harden's rookie year. Yeah.
and they started getting good. I think it probably plays out different. I just think also Ballmer or one of these guys would have just put, you know, say he buys a stadium when the NBA have moved it. I feel like the NBA wanted the public money more than they wanted anybody to pay for a stadium. Also, that was the other part of it that I never quite understood.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely liked the precedent of there being public money. I mean, my position has always been that I think your point is well taken, that financially it might have been difficult for the OKC owners to pull it off. I think that, like, the fire, the earth was so scorched by that point,
yeah,
both with them and with the NBA, that they would have sold it to, like, you know, the Oracle guy, Larry Ellison.
Right, Larry Ellison. I could see that. I could have seen that unfold. But who knows? You know, like, the... I also think, you know, we saw McClendon lost all his dough. Like, they really did.
Yeah.
If they don't have that team there, they weren't getting it there. They just got lucky.
Yeah, it would have been a lot harder, the timing with the economy collapsing.
What was the timing of Aubrey McClendon losing his money as opposed to
It was like a year or two after all that happened and when he started really getting, when they were, like, investigating him. It's crazy I even know about this. Like, see, that's that's problematic. Like, I'm supposed to be just watching basketball, and then it turned into all this shit. You know what I mean?
It was a lot more than watching basketball.
Right. It was crazy, like, that they pulled that off, you know, and I think, you know, the country bumpkin narrative, they clearly, you know, finessed the shit out of everybody with that. But it was just lucky because we had a fucking bitch-ass dude that, you know, claimed to own a public trust with, you know, a team and just got scared and ran away, you know?
All right, is this time for me to defend Howard Schultz?
Oh, no, you're going to defend Howard Schultz?
I think his heart was in the right place.
How is your heart in the right place by selling the team from a group from Oklahoma City who is clearly going to move it?
Yeah. I mean, apparently he thought that was going to put the pressure on the city. He clearly underestimated that.
Right. I think he felt like, based on the response that he got from the state legislature and the city of Seattle, which, you know, well, part of the issue that, I mean, the issue is so complex, much more than we can get to in this podcast.
Right.
But, like, when they tried to go get money, I believe at that point, Nichols was on board with funding a renovation of Key Arena, and the council wasn't. They were divided, and that was, like, part of the issue. But basically, he felt like the state legislature thought, look, the Seahawks got saved at the 11th hour. The Mariners got saved at the 11th hour. The same thing is going to happen with the Sonics. Howard Schultz is never going to move the team, so we don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And he felt that by selling to someone who had the potential to move the team, that it would actually, like, scare the legislature into action. Now, that didn't happen, and obviously Howard was woefully naive and incredibly arrogant to think that just because he couldn't get public money, no one could get public money. But I do think his heart was in the right
place. That just doesn't... even aside from, like, this heart in his right place thing, it was a shitty read on the situation.
I'm not disputing that.
It was also a shitty business decision, considering the value of franchises.
He also probably lost, like, $1 billion in the meantime, like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one knew at that point that franchise values were going to go up as much as they were. It seemed at that point that the $350 million was in overpay. You know, it was getting a premium, but... Not in hindsight.
None of these other owners that are so invested in the city would do that to the city. Just on a public relations, you know, standpoint.
Especially if you thought you might run for president someday.
I mean, that's going to go well. I'm sure that's going to go well.
He's really had a great read on that one also. Yeah. With this pivot to the middle. That's been working out really solid for Howard so far. Yeah. I can just see him as, like, you know, you have the early debates with, like, 15 candidates, and Howard Schultz is going to be one of those, and he's going to be gone, like, 2 months later.
He's going to try to do the Trump, but I'm the good business. I know business, but I'm good. That's going to be his thing. I'm a good guy, but I know business.
It's going to be like Howard Schultz is polling at 1% right now.
Yeah, I'll enjoy that.
It'll be a win for us.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
It's the best we've got. What are your feelings on Starbucks since this?
I mean, I was never really a coffee drinker anyway, but yeah, I don't fuck with Starbucks. And it's hard because, you know, I get, like, if you're not a sports fan, what do you care? Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, my daughter thinks it's really funny to be like, "What is that, Daddy? It's a Starbucks." And she'll just laugh. She's sick and funny because she knows it makes me mad. Because, you know, that's what kids do. But Yeah, it's funny. A good friend of mine who is like the biggest sports fan I know is works at Starbucks now. Just like was on him like, man, you're such a sellout, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I get it. He's got to make his you know, it's his job. But then, you know, he's kind of telling, and I do like some of the things Starbucks does as a company, especially where we are right now in the world. Might have softened my stance towards them because they are doing some positive things, probably for the community, but I'm not going there. You know, that's not for me. I'll go use their bathroom, though, all day. If I'm somewhere out, I was in LA on Melrose like a week ago. Had to use the bathroom. Yeah, let me hit this Starbucks.
That's what Starbucks is good for.
They're good for some free bathroom. I've even got some water there. I'll be like, yeah, let me get this free water.
Yeah, take their water in their bathroom. It's really hard to think about because I'm like, this person selling the team, whether his heart was in the right place or not, has affected my life so much over these last 10 years, more than almost any other person.
Well, and it's funny when it happened. I remember, like, you know, joking to people. I was like, damn, this might be the worst thing that ever happened to me, which is crazy. And I was thinking, damn, I got a good-ass life. And then, you know, over the years, I've been proven wrong with that, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's something – I mean, I was a Sonics fan from when I was, like, 8 years old. So, 84, I think I went to my first game. And, like, just watching all these shitty teams for all these years. I mean, they were kind of good at times. Like, obviously, we had our run in the 90s or whatever. Yeah, but I still probably love the X-Man teams more because that was when I first was really watching. Mm-hmm. And Dale Ellis and, you know, those guys. I actually have a great Dale Ellis story. I posted a picture on my Instagram a while ago. But a friend of mine's dad bought his community service when he got the DUI or whatever happened. This was 89, 90, something like that.
Sounds right.
So I played basketball with Dale Ellis for like an afternoon when I was a kid.
As community service?
That was his community service.
What?
But it's funny, like them being gone, I feel like I watched more NBA than ever. So that shit didn't really deter me for it. I'm more interested in the entire league, and I would spend all my time watching the Sonics, even if they suck. Like, Jello Ball, he's going to figure it out. He's going to be okay. It's like, no, Jello Ball kind of sucks. So it's maybe it's good in that way for basketball, but, you know, obviously I've become way more involved watching high school games, the Huskies. I've always watched the Huskies, but it's probably like broadened my, you know, basketball watching and following. I'm probably a bigger basketball fan I've ever been at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but as far as my paying attention to the general league, I definitely am paying way more attention now than I ever have been. I feel like the league is in such a good place, and it's kind of sad that Seattle isn't part of that. Because if we were, I'd probably have the same attention to the league and have a team on of our own.
Although the upside is this way you can just glom onto whatever bandwagon you want.
It is, but it's not the same. You know what I mean? Like we can talk about when they left. I was like, maybe I'll be a Portland fan. They got B-Roy. They got Martell.
Nate McMillan.
I even went to the first game they played in Portland against OKC, and they destroyed the Thunder. That was great. Nice. I think I had a Nate McMillan jersey on or something.
I was wearing a Sonics tie.
Was that like after a Seahawks playoff game?
No, that was a few years.
That was a different one. Okay.
But I definitely went to the first time. It was the first game they played in Portland as OKC, and it was just weird. And then I'm looking around and I'm seeing like all these dusty looking Oregon fans, and I was like, I'm not one of you guys. I can't jump on with the Blazers. And then I just kind of like, you know, I was like, I like LeBron. I guess I'm a root for LeBron. But even, you know, like good things happen, it's not the same as the Sonics.
No.
Which is kind of cool because when they lose, I'm like, oh, fuck it. I guess you lost. Yeah. I'm over it. You
can't be strong. So the thing that deterred you, because I want to walk through some of the other options that we've had over the last 10 years and some of the progress that's happened with the team or lack thereof. So the Blazers, the thing that deterred you was the Oregon fans.
Yeah, I went to the game. I was like, I'm not one of you guys. Like, I don't know. I don't know even know what that really means, but it didn't. Just couldn't see myself being, you know, being in any kind of like same side as them. I don't like that they think that they can be Seahawks fans personally.
Mm.
Like, find another team. Like, you know?
The 49ers are right there.
Be the 49ers. Whatever, ride with them.
It was so natural for me to pick them up in the first year because of having Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
And like weirdly being a huge Martell Webster fan. And then having Nate, like having that Seattle connection, it was like, well, at least we've got this.
Right.
But there's something about, we talk about this sometimes, right? You just don't feel it in the pit of your stomach.
Well, it's just, you're not invested. You know what I mean? Like, there's no team in basketball I'm ever going to be invested in the same way I was in the Sonics, because it's just growing up with it. And when you're young, you really live and die with the shit.
Yes.
Now I'm kind of like, even like the Seahawks, if they lose, I'm like, whatever, fuck them. I don't really care as much as I used to.
I look forward to opting
out. I can't wait.
I think part of it is we won a title, and yes. Then I'm like, oh shit, I saw a title in my lifetime. I didn't think that would ever happen.
Yeah.
I just stopped watching the Mariners. Like, I haven't watched them in like 3 years, and I was a diehard. But that
how are you feeling about the Mariners right now?
The day and all that shit, it was too much.
Rue the day.
Yeah, that was too much.
I'm looking forward to reaching that age.
when they make the playoffs, I'm back. I'm gonna bring out the Edwin Nunez jersey and all that. You know, like I'll be a bandwagoner, I guess.
That's the moment when they make the playoffs.
They got to make the playoffs, though. You can't just have me watch it for 14 years or wherever it's been.
Yeah. 17, but who's counting?
Is it 17? All right, so it was 14 when I stopped.
There are kids who were born after the Mariners went to the playoffs who are going to be seniors in high school next year.
Oh my god! Yeah,
about that.
And then,
that's so sick.
What about Husky basketball?
Huge Husky basketball fan. I had season tickets. This is the first year I ever had season tickets to anything.
Really?
Because I knew I wasn't going to be touring, so we did season tickets, me and a couple buddies, and that was fun. And it's also like I watched a lot of high school games, and I'm old enough that there's guys that I know that have kids that are in high school playing on these teams. Even on the Huskies, there's a guy on there that his dad was a friend of mine. You know, I played with him when I was a kid. So, it's definitely cool. But then I'm kind of like, damn, man, they're just the level of basketball is just not there sometimes.
Why do we even watch college basketball? Let's check that.
It's kind of sick sometimes. But, I started watching Husky basketball when they were really bad, like probably '86, and I would go to a lot of games and watch Gary Payton beat our ass. I watched Steve Kerr and Sean Elliott beat our ass. Like, that was just what happened back then, right?
You went for the other team back then.
I didn't go for them, but I was definitely watching them. I would still be rooting for the Huskies like an idiot because I just had that, like, dumb loyalty as a kid. I feel like I'm growing out of that, and I'm kind of like I could just let it be what it is. And you know the other thing about Huskies is they can't move.
Yes,
that is true.
Once that happens, you kind of like a little leery about any of this. I'm like, what do I owe any of these things? You know, when they can just up and move on us, like, this is not our team, unfortunately.
It,
you know,
it definitely feels just a little bit less like a cruel business. Like, you know that it is because
it's dirty.
It's college sports, an entirely different cruel business,
right?
I mean, that's a great point that you're like, you know that they're there. They are going to be there for us, depending on what happens with the NCAA.
Right. I mean, yeah, we don't know. And, you know, and I grew up, you know, walking distance to Husky Stadium, so it's just always been a thing that I've done.
The level of play, though, is just like watching college basketball games. With
it's
fouls.
Way worse now than it used to be because, oh, you know, you'd have seniors playing, and they were like guys that would be contributors in the NBA right now because everybody, if you're really good, you just leave as a freshman, so...
You know, when you don't get attached to players for as long. I mean, even with Isaiah Thomas, we got to see for 3 years.
Right.
Where it's like there's 1 year of DeJounte Murray, 1 year of Marquise Chris, 1 year of Markel Fultz, like 1 year
not,
of Tony
not even really a full not, year of Markel.
Yeah, because he sat out like towards the end, right?
And so you're like, you see these people and then they're gone so instantly. And with the NBA, like what we would have had with Kevin Durant, who I'm going to talk about cheering for next,
you know, Ari, here's a funny Kevin Durant one, though, I was thinking about the other day. What if he bolted on us like he did OKC? Like, I don't want to be in this little market. That could happen, too. We could have totally been mediocre his whole time.
It's possible. Yeah.
It could have been another A-Rod situation.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think I delivered this take on the pod a few weeks ago that A-Rod was the original, like, LeBron in terms of people being upset at
it. But he went to a shitty team, so it was really weird. I mean, it was purely a money grab, obviously.
That's an interesting point. I mean, we've talked about this, but the best thing about the Sonics moving is that they haven't lost a game in the last 10 years.
Right.
I haven't drafted a single center in the first round.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to draft Petro this year. The great, man, who was the other guy? Well, Swift, obviously, not good.
Sene.
Sene.
Yeah, Mamet Sene.
I still think the worst Sonic signing that I can remember, well, there's two. Craig Elo just did not make a shot for a whole season, I felt like. And then Calvin Booth.
What about Craig Elo as color analyst?
He's a Cougar and he sucked for us. Like, his legacy is that Jordan almost kicked him after he hit the shot on him. Like, he's always going to be known for that.
Even more than McIlvain, Calvin Booth.
Yeah, I will defend also the Calvin Booth signing.
I think Calvin Booth was worse than McIlvain.
Because Booth got hurt his first year. He injured his ankle. They had an open practice at the event center next to the Kingdom, which in hindsight maybe was not the best idea because he sprained his ankle, never came back that entire season, had to undergo surgery, or he played a little bit that season, had to undergo surgery, and just was never the same athletically.
He had like legitimately one good game in the playoffs and got a check.
But his permanent stats in Dallas were actually pretty good, whereas McIlvain, like, all he could do is block shots.
Defending Howard Schultz and Calvin Smith.
Well, and we had, you know, and this George is another one that kind of escaped the wrath, but he was not that great a coach.
Oh, this is a take.
I mean, if a guy can't adjust on the fly and he was just incapable of it, we had teams that were better than other teams, and he just was like, nope, we're going to trap. It's like that Lakers series that we lost in Tacoma. Like, how did McIlvain guarded Van Exel like 50 times in a game at the top of the key and just got roasted every time? Might want to maybe try a different strategy, you know?
I mean, George, definitely not a great playoff coach.
He's really managed, considering that he had one of the most embarrassing losses in playoff history, he's really managed to escape that kind of criticism.
So, I mean, there's also, we don't have a low moment like that. I don't think I've ever had a set. Besides him leaving that year, Mutombo holding the ball, oh my God.
And the fact that we always have to see it.
Right, they always show that bullshit. Robert Pack went crazy on us.
Oh, God, Robert
fucking
Pack.
LaFonso Ellis.
Bison Dele?
Yeah, Bison Dele was a beast in that series. And it was just another one. It was just classic Sonics. I felt like the Rockets had a lot of Sonics of that year. They reminded me of that kind of team where they just, their average just come out in regular season game was going to smash, you know? Mm-hmm. The Sonics were always kind of like that. Like,
I think it's more Toronto would be the comparison.
Toronto, I guess, is probably the Sonics of that time.
Especially with Dwayne Casey as the coach.
But they don't have anybody as good as Sean, do they? Or, I don't think so. Or even, I mean, Gary. Gary was also, I feel like Gary's kind of escaped a lot of wrath over the years too, because he definitely did some crazy shit. If we had the internet around, like his random feuds and not passing guys the ball, like I remember being at a game, Ruben Patterson hit like a couple shots and got hype, and Gary Payton was like, fuck you, and just not pass him the ball no more. He was good for that, you know?
I'm taking Gary's side there.
I mean, I would too, but like, there's just, he just wasn't really, he was kind of like the early, not really a point guard.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really about getting another guy's the ball. Only when he couldn't necessarily shoot himself.
He was thoroughly modern as a point guard in that regard, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Kevin Durant, the way that we imagine it, it's like with the Huskies, you have these players for 1 year, four at the most, and then they're gone. But what we could imagine in our heads is having Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, even though the Sonics didn't draft him, James Harden.
No, the Sonics did draft Russell Westbrook.
They drafted Russell Westbrook. I'm saying James Harden, they didn't draft. We can just project in our minds, like, these are the players that we could have been watching forever. You know, in our heads, Kevin Durant resigns. They never made the Harden trade when they stayed in Seattle.
Well, that's also the thing, is the OKC being like the 70th market causes them to like worry about $8 million or Harden, and then they get to eat shit.
Yep.
That's on them. They had a dynasty. There's nobody could watch that team that lost to LeBron was pretty close in that series. It wasn't a blowout type series against the Heat. And they were all 21 or whatever the fuck it was. And they were like, nope, this $8 million, we can't stretch Kendrick Perkins or whoever it was. I remember something like that.
Yeah, they could have amnestied Perk.
They were being too cheap.
Yeah.
But it's because, you wanted to go to OKC. Oh, your revenue isn't good? Your TV revenue? Maybe don't move to the 70th market. Like, how about that?
So, what are your feelings about Oklahoma City?
I mean, you know, definitely nothing positive, really. I definitely don't want to see anything good ever happen for them, you know, like that the series where they almost beat the Warriors was the first time I just had to not watch a game because it just made me too mad.
Wow.
Like when they went up 3-1, I didn't watch game 6. I was like, nah, can't do it to myself. I was like, it just made me, that like almost made me more sad than this team leaving.
It really is crazy. I mean, that was the highest DEF CON that we've been. Even though
I was freaking the fuck out.
Even than when they went to the finals. Like, yeah. It was a much higher DEF CON in that Warrior series.
I don't know what it was, because I in my mind, I'm thinking Durant's out of there. They got to lose, and then Durant's out of there, and then it won't be a threat.
Yes.
Then I won't be worried about this shit. So I think game seven, I was like looking at my phone. I'm like, oh, they're up 15. I can watch now. But then they would come back. I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, game six was definitely the most knife edge of that series when the Thunder were up big in the first half.
I need to catch that on the NBA Instant Classic or whatever. They need to throw that on NBA TV this summer so I can catch the game.
Well, we have to thank Klay for that, right? Because Klay goes off in that
Klay
game.
Thompson, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's the reason that Kevin Durant is in right. Golden State right now.
It's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. So, and I always told myself, as far as Durant, I'm like, once he leaves OKC, I'm just going to rock with him wherever he goes, because it sucks rooting against somebody who's that good. So it's
been, and who loved the city right. and like embraced right. it.
He
in
didn't
want
to. I mean, nobody wanted to go to Oklahoma City, I'm sure, on the team. That wasn't like a destination. I'm sure all of us have run into Nick Collison in town, have heard his thoughts.
Which are not positive. Lifelong Oklahoma City player.
Mr. Thunder.
Mr. Thunder, you know. If we had a bossa nova, then I would really let off. But, out of respect to him.
So you obviously never considered cheering for Oklahoma City.
Nah.
What about people who did?
I honestly just don't understand. I could not understand for the life of me how you would do that. I could see maybe not hating them is one thing, but to cheer for them? Like, you don't have to be like me. I'm probably silly with it. You know what I mean? It doesn't really make sense. But it's like, so your girlfriend left you and married some other dude, and you're just like going to be there cheering her in her life? Like, seems kind of weird. But
do you know anybody who's like that?
Not personally.
Yeah, I've like.
I can only think of one person. Cousin Moogle cheered for them for like 1 year at least, and he was like, "Well, they used to be the Sonics, that's why I'm cheering for them." And I'm like, "It doesn't work like that. Yeah. You clearly didn't give a shit about the Sonics while yeah. they were here."
It's not like the Raiders and like the Oakland LA thing, and the yes. Raiders are just this thing. It's like, you know, people identify with the personality of the team and shit like that, and like they don't care where they play, right?
Right.
When they changed the name and went to another place, it was over, you know? It became the enemy. Replaced the Lakers, which I never would have thought, you know? And then it's like people in Seattle were like, I'm a Laker fan now. I was like, how do you do that? That was really strange to me, too.
You've seen like, people in Seattle who are Laker fans?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. The Kobe thing is real. Hmm. There is a real groundswell of support of random Kobe fans. You know, that are turned them into Laker fans.
The Kobe Stannies.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just pointless arguing with them because they're very set in their ways.
I've muted a lot of those people on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
you never see them.
Every once in a while, I just want to agitate them. And I have friends, you know, that are Laker fans, and I just constantly give them shit. Like, that's just what I do. And they'd be like, you don't even got a team. I was like, guess what? Still, your team, you know, what happened to this dynasty? You guys are like 10 years out of the playoffs. You always got to exaggerate a little bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like the 49ers fans when they talk about the 90s. And I'm like, that was 30 years ago or whatever it was. Like, you guys haven't won shit. The Seahawks are the ones winning Super Bowls over here. You guys are, you know, working on maybe getting in the playoffs again.
So you followed Kevin Durant then to Golden State?
Kind of. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like a passionate thing. I did want him to win this year, but I like LeBron too. So I kind of felt like whoever won, I was good. As long as OKC was out of there, I was good, really.
Yeah.
You know, that Utah series was fun. I was in New York watching the last game of that at a bar. Nobody else gave a shit. And, and I can't – there was something crazy that happened at the end of one of those games that really made me mad. Was it when they tricked off a big lead, right?
Yeah, at the end of game five.
Right. And I was like, nah, not again. Don't do this to me. Because, you know, it's another turning point where you're like, okay, if they lose in this first round – George is out of there, and then it's like we get to watch Westbrook win 41 games for the next however many years till they trade him.
Yes.
And they'll never get good again, probably, because that's just the odds of the NBA.
That's really the hope. I mean, the thing that pisses me off the most about everything is that not only did the team move, they moved 2 years before they got pretty good and exciting. Like, what they were 2 years in is one of the most fun teams to cheer for. Right. Like being young and good and just having these wild dreams of what your future could be, having players that you feel like you're watching grow up,
right,
seeing that and then seeing them evolve into a team that was in the playoffs every year, threatening for championships occasionally, playing in a finals, pushing the Warriors in that series. They've gotten to see really good basketball for the last 10 years, more or less.
And it's like, you know, they haven't had to watch Sene play center.
You might have had to a little bit that first year. And they did have to watch Perk for a long period of time.
You know, they didn't get to watch, you know, Ridenour get destroyed by every point guard in the league, or, you know, Radmanovic, you know, just be an absolute disaster and then be good and then be a disaster.
Yeah.
They just didn't really have to go through that. They've had like the staple. They've always had a great player. They've had a Hall of Fame player on every team they've had.
They've had an MVP.
And an MVP.
Yeah.
So they haven't struggled at all. And what I want to see is the Oklahoma City team be like 35 wins for like 12 straight years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think after 2 years, you're going to see it's not this rabid college atmosphere. It's like any team that's winning is going to, the city's going to support. It's just what it is. People are bandwagon fans.
Especially at the Mariners now.
Huh?
Look at the Mariners now.
Yeah, right, right. Are people going to Mariners games?
Oh, yeah. They were against the Red Sox.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a whole different thing.
There's also a lot of random Red Sox fans.
Yeah, I was like, wow, man, there's a lot of people from Montana that are Red Sox fans. They made the drive over.
I think the playoffs will do that to a team. But yeah, we need to see them struggle. They're like, to be lumped in, like you look at the Hawks or whatever. Like the Hawks, even when the Hawks were good, they still didn't seem good. Like, you want them to be one of these teams that has just like decades of futility.
I would like to see them be the Cavs without LeBron.
Yeah.
I would be into that, you know, like, and, you know, maybe I'll go to a game. I might just make a trip and sit courtside or something. I've talked about that with a couple of people, so, you know.
We're in your Sonics gear.
Yeah.
About doing a pilgrimage?
Well, I
need
like...
to find the guy that had the Bennett 666 jersey and get that from him. You think they would let me sit courtside with that?
I don't know if they could find grounds to prevent you from doing it, but I mean, at some point, you know, when we get a team back, it changes.
So I don't think we're getting a team back ever. I'm just convinced.
Wow. Ever.
I mean, they're just trying. It's good for them to have somebody to be like, well, you know, Seattle wants a team, and then Milwaukee magically has money to pay for a stadium. Sacramento, which is the place that does not have the money to pay for a stadium, obviously pay for a stadium. And it doesn't happen without Seattle.
Yeah, so I want to talk about what happened in Sacramento. Chris Hansen's group buys the Kings, right? Has a plan to basically have them move to Seattle quickly. And then as things are percolating within the Sacramento government, thanks to former NBA player Kevin Johnson, in part, David Stern magically rides in again to snatch the team away from the city of Seattle, works with Sacramento, gets a deal done, and then eventually the sale is voted down, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was voted
the sale
down.
Or the relocation. I think they were voting on
the
relocation,
went through,
right?
The relocation was voted down.
Well, they just never even voted on the sale because they voted down the relocation. Yeah, I mean, that was a gut punch, no doubt.
I mean,
about
the
it.
Killer is that, like, there was none of that sympathy for Seattle and none of that consideration. That's the thing I never understood. And I mean, I know it's about the government, but like, I think the NBA loves pilfering the small city for all their money. I mean, that's part of their business plan, you know? And if you're in a big city and you have people that are like, nah, we're not buying a billionaire stadium, you're fucked, you know, unless somebody wants to buy a stadium. And the broke man who lives in Madison Park over there, you know, apparently he didn't have enough money to buy his own stadium. So we don't have a team.
Do you have any residual feelings about the Kings themselves?
I was hating on them for a while, but then I was like, yeah, they didn't even do nothing wrong. Like Sacramento, that's kind of unfair. It's not the same thing. And then, you know, we basically would have been doing what OKC was doing, except the problem was them guys weren't sneaky. Like right. OKC... Clay Bennett, sneaky as fuck.
Yes.
Hansen, doing it the right way. Nah, not getting it done. I mean, look how they did him locally. Like, he just got shitted on in this situation that none of us understand. Like, I mean, he's somehow his arena wasn't good, and he was, you know, Tim Leiweke or whatever his name is, like, get him the fuck out of here. We're never getting an NBA team with him.
Well, it's kind of hard. I mean, just
I would put the odds at like 50-1 that we ever get an NBA team.
50-1.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so first in the Kings, it's a little bit hard looking at it where it's like you see this team that has been so poorly managed for how many years? 15 years? It's been a decade plus of being poorly managed. And you hear going into the draft that just happened, there are players who
I don't want to be the second pick.
Players
fuck
who
being
don't
the second
want to
pick.
Be the second pick because they crazy. Don't want to play in Sacramento, like are unwilling to share their medical records with
don't
Sacramento.
Don't want to play
for the Kings. For the record, I will be the second pick. I'm willing to submit my medical records to Sacramento.
But it's just like you have this franchise where players don't want to play for the franchise.
What? And the NBA thought, like, you know what? Seattle, you know, you guys aren't really good enough as a market right now. We'd rather get this money from Sacramento and put in a guy that has no idea what he's doing and make them even more of a laughing stock as Sacramento. And then when I found out Vivek put up, like, $30 million or something crazy,
right.
He bought the team, like, basically at Walmart or some shit. Like, he got a controlling interest of an NBA team at, like, the coldest low-budget price you could imagine.
I think the NBA has some regrets about that deal.
Well... You know, somehow it always seems like we're getting slighted in this situation, which is the crazy thing because yes. We never did anything wrong. We had some guys that told David Stern to eat a dick, basically, in Olympia. And, you know, I guess we're going to pay for it forever, you know?
I don't think forever. Well, I'm confident. I'm taking the under on ever.
Okay, fast forward to now. You're saying, I mean, the arena deal, renovation for Key Arena is done. It'll be renovated. Hockey looks very likely there.
Not done.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw some. But I honestly, after the Sacramento thing, I just stopped paying attention. I'm like, just let me know when we have a team because I'm not going through that again, you know? I was even looking at Sacramento's team like, yeah, maybe Bobby Jackson can get these guys going a little better, you know? You know, maybe they'll bring Lawrence Funderburk back or something. I don't know.
So now your view of it is that with an arena deal more or less done to renovate Key Arena, Soto, a big question mark. The viability of basketball in the renovated Key Arena.
I just don't see how that doesn't. I mean, from every aspect besides Seattle owns Key Arena, it's a horrible place to have events.
Mm-hmm.
There's no public transportation. They had the nerve to say the monorail was public transportation, so you could get like 200 people to the game that way. Like, not really getting it done. Then you have the Amazon disaster, Mercer mess, all that shit. So we had a space where you can catch public transportation, mass transit, get right to the game. It's built for that. But apparently that wasn't good enough because Chris Hansen's not paying the right people. I don't know what he's doing, but he's not paying the right people. He didn't give councilman or councilwoman, whoever, you know, the slide money or whatever. And, you know, like that street vacation, like that they denied that was crazy to me. I'm like, I've been over there. I go over there because that's where Soto, the venue is. I've been on that street and not seen any cars go down there.
Yes.
So how that's like a major thoroughfare and blocking the arena, clearly... You know, there's some other shit going on behind the scenes, you know, like, and maybe you'll write the book one day.
I don't know. About the other shit.
Maybe Kevin's going to write the book one day.
It is pretty shocking that, I mean, that street vacation, I guess I forgot about that as a moment where we kind of went into that day expecting that to happen.
It seemed like a slam dunk. He was like, oh, we're going to pay for everything and this and this. And now we're putting public money towards an arena that's not guaranteed to get the NBA and we get to watch hockey that nobody here cares about. Like that team, who knows? Maybe all the transplants that work for Amazon are going to be into hockey. I don't know. I don't know a single person that watches hockey.
We've learned a lot about hockey and covering the story over the last few months.
Yeah.
It's been some new experiences. By the way, the light rail is going to be at Seattle Center by 2033.
Forgot.
It won't seem like any time.
Any day.
Which reminds me of one of my favorite, like, terrible memories about this whole thing is, like, in 96 when we first voted for light rail, I was like, hey, this is great. I'll take it to a Sonics game. And by the time light rail started working, which you, again, would have to take the monorail to actually get to Seattle Center and to Key Arena, by that point, the team had already moved.
Right.
God, right.
But I think the one interesting thing to monitor, if you are paying attention to it, is we will continue to.
You guys are my new source for this stuff.
So. The city council, it sounds like we might have some turnover on the city council after
what they just did, they all got to go because that was crazy.
So we'll see if...
Maybe Jeff Bezos can just own the whole city and we can just sell it to him. Maybe he'll just own the council next. I mean,
if he brings a team here, I don't care. I'm for it.
All hail our new leader, Mayor Jeff Bezos.
Well, so now, I mean, we look at the situation, and really the future of the NBA still looks bleak in Seattle. It feels like the Key Arena renovation hasn't really moved the needle. The quotes from Adam Silver haven't been that encouraging, where you look at it and say, oh, this is definitely coming. And the timeline now is...
The timeline is basically Memphis is losing a bunch of money a year, and maybe the owner's going to be like, we don't want to give these guys the luxury tax dollars. I mean, that's the only thing I could see maybe forcing the move. That seems like our best shot, which, I mean, how did Memphis end up with Vancouver's team in the first place? Like, they play. There's a lot. And then when I look around, you know, the thing that really burned me up with the NBA is when they start talking about our attendance. And I'm like, I watch games, and there's nobody at the game. But somehow the Sonics, oh, you guys don't deserve a team because nobody went to your games when the owner, you know, basically sabotaged the season.
And it was major league.
It was so major league. I mean, everything about it was, you know, it's like, hey, maybe we can get Wally Szczerbiak and play him a point guard, and Kevin Durant's going to play too. And PJ Carlissimo, you've never been a good coach besides Seton Hall. And maybe you can be coach for a little longer. I really do think they would have kept PJ a coach for those 2 years in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So, okay, let's end this. Do you have any more on the timeline?
No, I mean, I think that Memphis and New Orleans, we continue to monitor those situations. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see if Key Arena does prove interesting to an NBA owner. I mean, that's the big question.
Like, but if they're not owning the building, aren't you supposed to like own the building? That's where the money's at, right?
It gets a lot tougher, especially if you're going to be the second tenant after the NHL. So
maybe Ballmer's just going to say, fuck it, and move the Clippers. I don't know.
Sounds like that's not happening.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get a stadium down there though. I had another incarnation as a sports basketball fan when I jumped on the Clipper bandwagon. All right. So after Portland, I was like, all right, I'm not fucking with you guys. I was like, what will make Laker fans most upset? Yeah. This was literally my thought process. And I was like, how funny it would be if the Clippers were ever better than the Lakers. So I jumped all in. I mean, as in, like, I would kind of watch the games every once in a while. and then Jamal got on the team, and we're friends. So I'd be in L.A., and I started going to games. I was bringing Laker fans with me and stuff. My best moment as a Clipper fan was going to a Clipper-Laker game with DJ Khalil, who's a producer. His dad is actually an original Sonic, Wal Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So, but his dad was part of a Laker organization. He's a diehard. So I brought him there. Clippers beat him by like 40. The old Clipper fans, you just never seen such joy. Like, you know, the people have been there since like 87. They watched Loy Vaught or whatever. They were so happy, man. You cannot tell them they didn't win the title. It was great. But now Jamal's gone. And you know that when they lost to OKC, when CP3 turned the ball over like 7 times in the last minute, kind of was done with him just from that moment. I don't ever want to see anything good happen for him anymore. For just that one game.
Wow.
It was a rough game. Rough game.
Okay, so to end on a positive note, let's say – This is the future. The future that you don't see coming. Yeah, yeah. 50-1 to come.
The future? Future, future.
A team has moved to Seattle. How do you feel at that point?
I mean, I'm sure I'll be excited, but it's just never going to be the same, man. Like, I mean, I guess, who knows? If they start being good, I probably care, you know. But I just don't see it being the same, you know. It's just such a long gap, you know. Am I probably going to care the same way I care about the Sonics? Maybe. I don't know. It's going to really be hard. It's going to be hard to see.
I got to say, for me, better than a championship.
Yeah?
Getting a team back would be better than a championship.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate. I feel like I'll be excited to, like, watch our scrub players again. Like,
yeah.
This like, is home.
Yeah,
this is
ridiculous, like, yeah, basically watching mediocre teams. Just like, yeah, you know, Ruben, he's going to be good if he gets that jumper together.
Yeah.
Desmond Mason, man, oh, he's just working on his shot. He's going to be great once he can shoot. So that part is the fun part, I think, about being like having your team. Because when I'm watching Golden State, I don't really care about that kind of stuff, you know, the development of
Patrick McCaw's development.
No, I'm not worried about Patrick McCaw. Like, is he going to get it together? It's like, just not the same, you know?
Yeah.
That to me is like the best part. I think, I guess, as far as NBA fan, I'm like, I'll be very excited. And there's a part of me where it's like, we've seen behind the curtain a little bit too much, the process for how this happens. When you're a kid, it's just like the team is there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just grow up and there's a team because of course there is.
Right.
So kind of seeing the process for how it happens, especially if somebody moves. Like, so,
some of us have seen more behind that process than others.
there's just, we're seeing a little bit too much ugliness. But on the other side, like what you're talking about, the day-to-day of being a basketball fan of a team, where you, like, you get to know these people personally in a way.
Right.
Especially if we can do it soon enough to get Calabro back as the broadcaster.
I was thinking, he's getting older, isn't he?
As long as it's not Brian Davis, I'm good.
Yeah, he's one of the people who could stay in Oklahoma City.
Don't bring...
He's not staying in Oklahoma City. I don't know if you saw that news story.
Oh, no.
Oh, they got rid of him?
His contract was not renewed.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
But yeah, you get to... Like, I remember just feeling so strongly about Danny Fortson as a person.
What's underrated is that Danny Fortson legitimately was the reason that team was good.
Yep.
I don't know how, but he would just go in there and foul people the entire time he was in there and get rebounds. And it just, I mean, that team made no sense that they made. Was it the second round of the playoffs or something like that? You look at who was on that team. Like, those couple seasons with Ray were really impressive. Like, I think.
Yeah.
I think he was better than Gary in a way. I think he uplifted team a little better.
Wow. Ooh, wow. That's a hot take.
I think he's more of a favorite Sonic to me than Gary.
Really? Like,
yeah.
I love
them both in different ways.
Yeah. It's like you're talking
about
Michael
totally
Jelibol.
Different players, right?
It's like, from those teams, I'm like, I love Danny Fortson. Like, I like Ray is this great player. Like, Rashard Lewis, we always wanted to get together and become like a superstar.
Yeah.
But Michael Jelibol, we knew was going to be a star.
Did we?
I loved him. Or like when Swift puts it together. Like,
look, I will take that to my grave if he hadn't torn his ACL that Swift was going to be a good player.
There's something about like getting to know these players and seeing them every game. And you see the moments where people talk about like young players where it's like, I was listening to a podcast and they're like, I saw some glimpses from Malik Monk. It's like, I'm not watching Malik Monk enough to know if there are glimpses. But when you watch every second of the games, you see those things, and you're like, Flip Murray's actually good.
And they lead you into false hope.
Right. Yes. They do lead you into false hope. And, you can watch somebody like Radmanovic play for a couple of years, and you're like, this guy has really high-level talent.
Ahead of his time.
He just didn't care. And I knew he didn't care when I was DJing one night at War Room, and he just came through so drunk wearing, like, the most Euro fit of all time. And had like his hair with barrettes in his hair. It was just crazy. I was like,
this must have been during the 2005 playoffs.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
During the
playoffs. He unveiled that look for the playoffs.
He had no focus. Like, he just didn't care. That also, the highlight of that night was Potapenko being there with his boys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they all, like, his two boys had Potapenko jerseys over dress shirts. Where they got a Potapenko jersey,
wow.
I don't know, but. I would probably see. I like weird jerseys like that. Yeah. I don't want like the average jersey. I want like the off brand one. I will buy a Potapenko jersey all day.
I like to imagine that he demanded his boys wear them
somewhere in a mom's house. I think I still have a Mo Sene jersey.
See, that's crazy. They even made one of those. Yes. But you worked there, so it's different.
Yeah,
who purchased the Sene jersey?
I did not pay any money for that. For sure, no. All right, on that note, this has been sad, but also a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this.
It was awesome.
And thank you for listening.
Thanks.